Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to church this morning. My name is Sabrina, and I serve our church as the president of the Board of Trustees. And I've been a member here for some years, maybe four. I don't know. I forget. It seems like a long time. If you're a newcomer here this morning, we extend to you a special welcome and invite you to fill out one of the visitor cards found in the back of your hymnal, the gray hymnal, and put it in the collection plate or give it to an ushers. And we'll send you our church newsletter for the next 3 months to let you know about the programs and activities going on here at church. If you have children with you, they're invited to attend our religious education program during the service We do have a professionally staffed nursery for infants and young children, and adults are encouraged to attend the adult religious education programming at 11:50 a.m. If you would like to learn more about this church and about Unitarian Universalism, there is an information rack in our fellowship hall right behind this wall behind me with pamphlet newsletters and other visitor information that you're certainly welcome to take home with you. And of course, we encourage you to speak with members to learn more, and we also encourage current members to seek out visitors and share with them information about this beloved community. We welcome everyone into this home of comfort, spirit, justice, and hope. And now, ready? I invite you to turn to your neighbors and greet them, especially the ones you don't know yet. So we have a few announcements today. One is for RE. Children fifth grade and below will begin in the sanctuary and proceed to their classroom for the rest of the hour. Preschool and kindergarten will be in spirit play, where they will explore the Indigo Promise to insist on a peaceful, fair, and free world for all. And elementary school kids have a Nature Sunday. Woo! Nature Sunday! They will leave directly from the sanctuary to go on a walk outside, bring your jacket. And the youth group will meet for the entire hour. So if there's any youth group people, just go downstairs. And they will be planning the lock-in scheduled for December 5th. And I have an announcement from Paul Hebert, the men's luncheon this Thursday at Best Buffet in Wood River. The retired old men eating out, Romeo's, but being old is not a requirement or a prerequisite. And I would be remiss if I didn't tell you all that this coming Thursday at 7 p.m. we have a board meeting which is open to all the members of the congregation. I know. And today we begin our service with a prelude. The call to worship today is in the words of Albert Schweitzer. Man can no longer live for himself alone. We must realize that all life is valuable and that we are united to all life. From this knowledge comes our spiritual relationship with the universe. Yomi Kinder will light the chalice now. We light our chalice this morning, grateful for the love that we experience in this beloved community. May the flame light the way for all who seek such abundance. Our first hymn today is number 38 in the gray hymnal, Morning Has Broken, and it's also up there, so you can sing along. Up. Thank you. Apologize because it's a new format and I'm trying to work through it. Thank you. So at this point of the order service, which I have, it's the time for the intergenerational story. You can sit down. Yes, sorry. It's not comedy hour. All right. I'm going to come down because I feel uncomfortable reading the intergenerational story up here. When I was a kid, the thing that that they taught me about animals in religion class had something to do with this guy over here. This guy is St. Francis of Assisi, and he's a really cool dude, even now that I'm not a Catholic anymore, all right? What he did is he gave up all his riches and started talking to the animals. How can you not like a guy like that, all right? So because in honor of the sermon today that it will be given by Patrick right here in a few moments, I picked one of the stories of St. Francis that has to do with a wolf. The story is called Brother Wolf, and there's many versions of it. The original version is really short, and so I looked for something intermediate. And there's a little bit of talk of God, and I know not everybody's down with that, but you know, it's a Catholic-based story, so bear with me because the message is nice. There was in Italy, in the town of Gubbio, which would be over maybe in the next slide or not, a prosperous village that had a great problem. A wolf was eating their livestock and attacking the people. Nothing the townspeople did protected them from the wolf. Never had they seen such a fierce predator. Fear was in the eyes of everyone in Gubbio. Children were kept close by, weapons at the ready, and the defenses of the town were raised. So just as an aside, in medieval, this happened in the Middle Ages. So medieval towns in Italy were like big fortresses. So they had their own soldiers and their own guards. So they were it's sort of like, you know, lockdown. So the mayor of Gubbio consulted with his advisors and decided to ask for the help. After nothing had worked, asked for the help of this holy man, Francis, from another town of Assisi. And they'd heard that he could talk to the animals and see if that would work. Francis was moved by the situation and wanted to do what he could because he was a holy man and he could speak to the animals. So he met the mayor and spoke to the townspeople. Everyone hated the wolf, hated him. They knew who had been hurt by the wolf. They had lost livestock. They wanted the wolf dead or sent to another town so that it wouldn't bother them anymore. Either way, they said, if you can send it to Spoleto or somewhere nearby, not us, that would be great. And so Francis listened as the mayor described what had happened to their peaceful town and said, okay, I'll try to see what I can do, but I want to hear the wolf side of the story. So he goes to the woods and sees the wolf try to stalk him. And he looks at the wolf, in his eyes, and he feels a connection. And he says, come, brother wolf, I will not hurt you. All I want to do is talk to you. So the wolf looks back and goes, turns his head down and says, and advances and explained what had happened. His story was that he had been left behind by his pack because he was injured and couldn't keep up. He could only eat what wasn't fast, as fast as deer and rabbits, like sheep and goats. He would have preferred to eat the deers and rabbits, but he couldn't because he was too slow. He explained to Francis that all he wanted was to eat when he was hungry. Francis said, what about the people you killed? You killed people. And he said, well, you know, the first time I killed somebody, they attacked me first. And the other two people that came after me, I just went into instinct mode. I wasn't recognizing myself. If I felt threatened, I do what a wolf does. Francis could see that the wolf was only acting to fill his needs. He had made unfortunate choices that affected people that he didn't personally know. So that was a kind of a awkward situation. So Francis started praying and contemplating to find a solution. When he finished praying and contemplating, he proposed to the wolf that the townspeople could feed him if he promised not to eat their livestock, and in return, the wolf could protect the town. The wolf thought that that would work well for him, but he was still afraid. What if I go to the town and they don't believe me, and you bring me over and they're gonna kill me? Francis promised them that that wasn't gonna happen. The wolf put the paw in Francis's hand and they shook on it. As Francis and the wolf walked back to the town of Gubbio, Francis said to the people, I promise the wolf will not hurt you. Let us talk in peace. I've spoken with him, and he apologizes. He feels bad, and he wants to make amends. I want to ask the people of Gubbio if they can feed him And if he promises to never again take the lives of the livestock or the people in town, he will help you defend the town if you let him. But the citizens were skeptical, and it took a lot of talking and gnashing of teeth and tears, because they couldn't forget the people and the animals they lost to this wolf. But finally, hang on a second. They found it in their heart to be compassionate towards the wolf and to let bygones be bygones and start over a new day. So the people will be safe from the wolf, and he would be safe from them. And Brother Wolf is what they called him from then on, lived in peace defending the town until he died, being cared for by the nice and generous and compassionate people of the town of Gubbio. The end. Now it's time for the children to go to RE. Don't forget your coats. I invite you to move to the microphone and share briefly any gratitude or celebrations you bring with you to church this morning. There will be time to share concerns and sorrow in a few minutes. Okay. Okay, so now I invite you to move to the microphone and share briefly any sorrow or concerns you bring to church this morning.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Lewis. I just wanted to share that a couple of weeks ago, my dad got diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. He starts chemo this week. He'll have 3 months of chemo, then the big surgery, and then 3 more months of chemo. So if you could keep John in your thoughts and prayers, I'd appreciate it.
May the gratitude and celebrations among us this day become a blessing to all, and may the concerns and sorrows each be carried in all our hearts, and a burden shared become a load lightened. So at this time, I would like to invite everybody to do a meditation. Again, this is something I've never tried, and today's theme of the whole service is about animals and animal well-being. So what I found is a animal-based interspecies meditation. It's going to be a guided visualization, and it's an excerpt from this book called The Souls of Animals by Reverend Gary Kowalski, who is one of the UUA animal ministries people. There is such a thing, which I'm totally going to look into further after learning about this. But this is, I would like you to get comfortable, sit in your seats. As Pastor Sunshine says, be aware of your pinky toes and things. And then take a deep breath. Close your eyes or keep them open if you don't want to close them. But I would like you to imagine, you don't have to be a pet owner to do this, but you certainly encountered animals in your life. So for this visualization, I would like you to imagine looking into the eyes of an animal. It could be a pet. It could be any animal you've ever looked at. And as you look into those eyes, reflect that this being is a never-to-be-duplicated expression of the universe. Pay attention to what you see. the years of living present within those eyes and the vitality that shines through their color and transparency. Contemplate their shape. Notice the angles and curves of individuality that make the face of this creature a unique work of art, crafted by time and desire. And as you look into this being's eyes, pay attention also to what you cannot see, the inwardness, the selfhood, the I that is as singular as its outward expression. What you look upon is a living spirit. Greet and respect it. Appreciate it for what it is. Ask yourself, what does it feel like to be this creature? What does the world look like through his eyes? Become aware of the great antiquity within those eyes, the millennia of evolution they hold within that gaze. Sense a solitude you can never fully enter into or understand. Be aware that this is a being who has known hardships and hurts you can never imagine. This is a being who has known moments of wildness and innocence that you can never share. Yet, this is a creature who is alive and has desires like you. It walks the same ground. It breathes the same air. It feels pain, and it enjoys its senses, the dazzling warmth of the sun, the cooling shade of the forest, the refreshing taste of pure water, as you do. And in this, we're all kin. In that kinship, all life exists. Through that kinship, we can find wholeness. Out of that kinship, we can draw wisdom and understanding for the healing of our common home. And you slowly come out of this, look around you, and offer the gratitude for being here with all these other people. It's hard to transition to the offering to support the work of this church at this point, but okay. Looking at the overflowing cup, seeing from another perspective, witnessing life in all its fullness, we share from a place of open dedication and put our love into tangible form. This morning's offering will be gratefully received. May it be joyfully given. offering blessing. Yes, which should be up there soon. To the work of the church, you can repeat after me. To the work of the church, which is weaving a tapestry of love, we call community. We dedicate ourselves, and these are offerings. So now I would like the people that have a reading little piece of paper to come up and do the readings. As you come up, I'm going to tell you that the reading today are excerpted from the works of Dr. Albert Schweitzer, who won the Nobel Peace Prize in 1952, who was a philosopher and a theologian and a great guy, but he was also a great scientist. To join with the theme of today, these are excerpts about animal and compassion.
The ethics of reverence for life makes no distinction between higher and lower, more precious and less precious lives. It has good reasons for this omission. For what are we doing when we establish hard and fast gradations in value between living things by judging them in relation to ourselves, by whether they seem to stand closer to us or farther from us? This is a wholly subjective standard. How can we know what importance other living organisms have in themselves and in terms of the universe?
Thank you.
In the past, we have tried to make a distinction between animals which we acknowledge have some value and others which, having none, can be liquidated when we wish. This standard must be abandoned. Everything that lives has value simply as a living thing, as one of the manifestations of the mystery that is life.
We must fight against the spirit of unconscious cruelty with which we treat the animals. Animals suffer as much as we do. True humanity does not allow us to impose such sufferings on them. It is our duty to make the whole world recognize it. Until we extend our circle of compassion to all living things, humanity will not find peace.
For animals that are overworked, underfed, and cruelly treated, for all wistful creatures in captivity that beat their wings against bars, for any that are hunted or lost or deserted or frightened or hungry, for all that must be put to death, and for those who deal with them, we ask a heart of compassion and gentle hands and kindly words.
Our next hymn is number 21, For the Beauty of the Earth. Please rise as you're willing and able.
Thank you. good morning to you.
Good morning.
Now, if any of you intend to get even with me for doing this, remember my vicious wolf is right down here. Now, I became a member of this church on November the 15th, 2009, and I had attended service here for a year before that. Now, the reason I am up here today is one of my many retirement jobs was delivering motorhomes from the factories to the dealers around the country. That allowed me to contact friends and family members that I hadn't seen for sometimes more than 50 years, because I'm older than dirt. But whenever I would go through Atlanta, I would visit a friend, and she had two therapy dogs. And I thought, what a great thing that is to do. So I decided when I finished with that job, I would get involved with therapy dogs. I lived on the Alabama Gulf Coast at the time. Well, St. Louis, where I grew up, was an ideal spot for delivering the motorhomes. It was just like an X in the middle of the country. And I would come from the Minnesota-Iowa border to go to Florida. I'd come from Indiana to go to the West Coast. I could spend the first night at home on every trip. So I looked for, and I bought a house in Alton. I always liked Alton. After I sold my home in Alabama, the company I worked for went bankrupt about a month later. So I bought the ASPCA's book about every breed of dog, and I read about every one. The two best to be therapy dogs were the Golden Retriever and the Bearded Collie. Right there. They both shed once a year. In this area, the Beardy sheds in February. The Golden sheds from January 1st until December 31st. My next move was to call a Bearded Collie rescue person in Chicago. She told me that she would put me on the waiting list, but it would be at least a year before I would get one. Then she told me that she'd heard that the Beardy rescue man in Detroit had a line on some. So I called this man, and he said if things worked out, that he would see about getting me a Beardy. About a week later, I got a call from him telling me that he had a two-year-old male that was in Kansas City, and if I wanted him, I could have him. So when I got to Kansas City, I discovered that my Beardy had been in a Missouri puppy mill his whole life till that time. I was taken into a very large exercise room where they brought my new dog in and his sister, Bonnie. Now the boy, named Zeke, of all things, would stay in the farthest corner of the room from me. Now his sister, Bonnie, was also afraid of me, but she would come close enough to get a treat. So I fell in love with her instantly. Her face just radiated love. Well, the people who worked at this kennel got a leash on Zeke and gave him to me after they gave me a collar, a leash, a $130 kennel, and a month's supply of food. They sent us on our way. He had been neutered, had been to the vet hospital many times, had been fed for a month, the time he'd been there, to get some meat and muscle on him, and his weight went up to 28 pounds. For the rest of his life, he weighed between 55 and 60 pounds and didn't have an ounce of fat on him. That's the life he left when he came here. When we got to Alton, I renamed the dog Casey because I got him in Kansas City, and I like that name much better than Zeke. Casey Housebroke himself, the first time he left a present on the carpet for me, and I hollered at him, took him and the present outside. I threw the present on the ground and said, "You do this out here." That was his one and only housebreaking. He never did that again. After that, if I was not at home, a couple times when he had diarrhea, he would go on the rug in front of the back door. That's when I started to realize that he was something special. Casey kept trying to escape for the next 15 weeks and then escaped from my motorhome in Wood River without me knowing it. When I came back from the store, someone came up to me and said, "I saw your dog get out of your motorhome while you were getting out. He ran across 111, got hit by a car, and took off running with his left front leg up." During the next 16 days, I had more than 500 flyers out. The Alton Telegraph reported on his condition. Our local radio station did reports on him. State troopers were passing out flyers in subdivisions. I'm gonna get some tears. And the Bearded Collie Club had reports on their website, and their chat room was alive from all over the world with people talking about and wanting more information about Casey's situation. On the 16th day, Casey was caught in a live trap lent to me by one of the three dog catchers who spent so very much of their own time trying to help me. Kind of renewed my faith in humanity. I was told that it would be about 2 weeks. Oh, when we got him in the live trap, and I took him to three veterinarians, and they all agreed that the leg and shoulder had to be removed. And I was told that it would be about 2 weeks before he would be able to go up and down steps. But when we got home, he went up the steps faster than I ever could. He just refused to be an invalid, and he never was until the last few months of his life, when the joints of his only front leg would come apart and he would fall in his face when he walked. Amazingly, that did not happen when he ran. After Casey's amputation, he never tried to escape again, and he was never afraid of humans again. 6 months later, he passed a very difficult test to become a therapy dog in the Therapy Dog International. And his short life, he visited over 100,000 people in nursing homes. Sorry. He went to children's libraries where the children would improve their reading skills by reading to him, and he helped do dog bite prevention classes for second graders. He was picked up by a rock and roll group, and he'd appear on stage with them at rock concerts. The name of the group was Three-Legged Dog. Then the board members of the Missouri Alliance for Animal Legislation voted on which one of 75 Missouri puppy mill rescues would be honored in 2008. Casey got every vote. Casey was in the Jerseyville Pet Parade 1 year. The females were voted on first by the three judges, and they had to have three votes before they could agree on a winner. Next came the males, and on the first vote, Casey got every vote and was named the Canine King of Jersey County. That's the way his whole life went. The Lutheran Church on Milton Road purchased all new hymnals, and since I had a van with the rear seats removed, someone volunteered me to deliver the hymnals to nursing homes, even though I'd never been in that church. After making a therapy dog visit one morning, we went to the church and they loaded the van until I thought the rear bumper would drag on the street, and we started heading for nursing homes. The first nursing home we visited was one that Casey visited, and he was very upset when he was not allowed to make his visit. Rosewood was the second one, and that's a big nursing home. And we also made therapy dog visits there. I only had one box of books to deliver, so I let Casey walk in with me off leash. He would stick with me like this one would. When leaving, Casey went through the first set of doors with me, but he would not go out of the second set of doors and leave the building because he had not done his job making his visits. Many of the people we visited had pets their whole life until they went into a nursing home. And the therapy dog visits were the highlight and the happiest time of their month. To get Casey to leave the building, I had to go out to my van, get his leash, and drag him across the parking lot, his butt skidding on the pavement. Then I had to pick him up and put him in the van. He would not get in. He was that dedicated to his work of helping others. When I came here to see if this church could be the one I was looking for, I was 100% sold on the fact when I read about the principles of this church and saw that they were exactly the same ones that Casey was living. 3 days before I lost Casey on March 20th, 2012, he made a visit to the retired nuns in the infirmary of the Ursuline Convent. I had to pull up on his leash to keep his one front leg from collapsing and him falling on his face on the floor, and no one noticed. He was that good an actor. He was in agony. He was such a dedicated trooper. Maybe he was a Catholic. On March the 18th, 2012, 2 days before I lost Casey, I got a call from an animal communicator in Cincinnati, kind of like this troop you just talked about. And he worked with Casey for his last 4 years. He told me that of all the animals, the thousands of dogs he had worked with, he had come across only one that had intelligence as high as Casey's. If he thought he surprised me, he failed miserably, believe me. I knew it. When I lost Casey on Monday, I had much sadness, but just as much gratitude for the changes he brought into my life by his example. After Casey passed away, I received over 500 cards, letters, and emails from around the world. Shortly after that, I got a call from a dog club in California, and they asked if it would be okay if they took up a collection for a memorial for Casey. I considered that, and 2.5 seconds later, they got their answer. It was yes. Then they asked for a picture of Casey for the one page, or the two pages they bought, then informed me that I would need to write his life story for the second page. Fat chance. That would be the smallest print in the history of the world. Most of us were told when we were young that they are only dumb animals. I think we would do very well if we paid more attention to these dumb animals It just might help us to make this a much better world. Now I would like to read the magazine article that Casey wrote a few months after he passed away. It says, "My name is Casey, but I'm called Casey the Wonder Dog. I was born in a Missouri puppy mill where I was abused and starved for 2 years before the Bearded Collie Club of America rescued me and my sister Bonnie. When my new dad stopped for gas for the 250-mile trip to my new home in Alton, Illinois, the attendants at the station started to clean the pumps with a pressure washer. I went wild and tried to cross a busy highway. In the puppy mill, they cleaned our cages with pressure washers with us in them, and it terrified me. I spent the next 3 months trying to escape because I did not want to be near humans. My dad treated me well, but he was a human. When I finally did escape, I ran across a highway and was hit by a car. I ran into the woods using only 3 legs and was in a lot of pain. Many people were looking for me, but if they got close, I was gone. 16 days later, I was caught in a live trap. Dad found me and took me to 3 veterinarians. Dr. Pope had to amputate my left front leg and shoulder. Still, I liked him. Since many humans did so much to help me, I decided maybe some of them were really good, so I stopped trying to escape. 8 months later, I passed the test to be a therapy dog. It was actually 6 months. I passed the therapy dog test and became a TDI therapy dog. Since that time, I have visited more than 100,000 people in nursing homes, worked on reading programs at children's libraries, and helped with dog bite prevention presentation for second graders. I also became the mascot and poster boy for the rock group Three-Legged Dog and appeared on stage with them at rock concerts. The board of directors of the Missouri Alliance picked me as to be their honored dog. Then I was entered in the Jerseyville Pet Parade and was chosen as Canine King of Jersey County. I really loved doing my work. It made my life meaningful. While I was physically able, I visited 21 facilities every month. My front leg became too painful, and I only visited where people came to see me instead of my walking from room to room. My last visit was at the infirmary at the convent, and he pulled up on my leash and so forth. No one had any idea that I was in so much pain. My dog sitter was on that last visit, and when we were leaving, she asked Dad why he thought I was in bad shape, as I seemed just fine to her. What an actor he was. That visit was on Friday, March 17, 2012. I've enjoyed many things during my life, and the thing I enjoyed most was playing mind games with humans because I always won. And that is the truth, strange as it is. I have no idea why so many humans do not understand that we are smarter than they are. Maybe someday they will catch up. I hope so. On Monday, March 20th, 3 days after our visit to the convent, I went to the Rainbow Bridge where I'm waiting for Dad. When he gets here, everything will be perfect. I send my love and thanks to all those who made my life so wonderful. And I want to say thank you so very much for listening to my time telling my favorite story. And that's all from me.
That was great. Our closing hymn is in the teal hymnal, or on the wall, and it's 1074, Turn the World Around. It'll be bouncy. Please stand up as you're willing and able. The benediction by Reverend John C. Morgan. Let us bless and keep one another. Let kindness rule in our hearts and compassion in our lives until we meet again. Amen.